So good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Solo Hong, the coordinator of the Student Center for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Thanks for listening to our episode of the Diversity Podcast Season 3. It's my great pleasure to have Dr. Thomas Dirth from the Department of Psychology and some other faculty and staff from the Employee Resource Group, Sabrina Erickson and Jenna Trisco, as our guests today to share their insights and experience as we recognize the Disability Awareness Month. So let's start with our questions. So how long have you been working at BSU and what makes you go into the career you are today?
I can start. I have been with the university for just under 2 years. So I started in January 2019. And I am the grant specialist on campus, and I got into grants because I loved writing, and I really wanted to make a difference in the world in some impactful way. But I really struggled with my disability. I have an anxiety disorder, so working in careers where you're kind of on the front lines would have been really difficult for me. So having this kind of behind the scenes position has been wonderful for me, and I feel really good about the work that I do every day.
I just realized that we had the same start day.
Yes, yes, BSU, I still remember. Yes. Yep, orientation.
And how about Thomas and Sabrina? Would you like to share about it?
Sure, I'll go next. I'm Sabrina, and I am autistic, and I have several other sensory issues, such as audio processing disorder. I did not choose my career. I wanted to be a chemist. However, I am an administrative assistant, which I always think is sort of it's a fancy word for a secretary. But the reason why I do this work is my dad was illiterate. And so by the time I was 10, I was already helping him with his business, especially when it came to reading and writing. And I was really good at that. And I grew up doing that. And I always could easily find work being an administrative assistant. And so everything else I was doing in my life, I usually had a job where I was an admin assistant. And I discovered I'm actually really good at it, organizing things in that way for for someone else, and probably because I've been doing it since I was a child. So I kind of stumbled into this and then just continued as other things in my life have changed. But I found that it's a good job. And it allows me to do some other things. So I've pursued some of my other goals in life that are not necessarily career related, but I'm pretty happy with what I get to do each day. I get to help someone else, and I like that
a lot. Sure, sounds good.
It's kind of like, it's very interesting to see how disability has shaped our goals and
right
and things like that. This is Thomas, and I chose the career path that I'm in both because, you know, my parents are educators, and I have a lot of educators in my family, and so I that was kind of culturally you kind of get that sense. But then at the same time, as a person with cerebral palsy, a physical disability that kind of impacts my mobility, I was very much less active person. In growing up, not necessarily going out and having a lot of participation in sports and things like that. I was more studious and I was really good. My strengths growing up, if you know, like strengths finder or something like that, was all was always, you know, in the classroom. And so I was very much somebody who liked to read and excel, you know, in thinking and being analytical and that. And so when I went to college, I found role models in professors and faculty in that. And so that's what I wanted to do. I had a variety of different aspirations going into college, but I think I landed on this. And then just going into social psychology and multicultural psychology, I think at one point in time, you know, in my master's program right out of undergrad, I was, you know, having a conversation with a mentor, faculty mentor, and I was saying, you know, well, I don't really want to study disability or think about it, because it's like, well, I'm disabled. And so people are going to think, you know, well, of course he's studying disability because it's like personal to him and he's going to be biased and things like that. And the mentor said, absolutely, you should not think that way. You should be able to do research on things that matter to you. And if you care about the disability community, and if you care about your, you know, if you feel a sense of identity and solidarity, this is work that is much needed, and you can do a lot of good in this way. And so I kind of found my way into this discipline because of the fact that I know about the experience as somebody who has the experience, but then also I'm really interested in just giving back and being that that teacher for others. So that's a little bit about, it's kind of a mix of culture and uh-huh. being that.
Yeah, kind of echoing with what Thomas just mentioned, that how disability shapes a person's career. Is there any resource on campus that has made your work easier for each of you? And then in that case, what would be the most inspiring part of your job working at BSU?
I would go kind of in the reverse order. I'd say just real quickly, I think the people are the best resource at BSU. I think there's, you know, I always talk about it as like pockets of brilliance at BSU. There's so many great people to bounce ideas off of and to get support from and that. And so I think that has made my work easier from the standpoint of it's empowering mm-hmm. and people are supportive in that way. You know, and it's like, it's not always universal. It's not always, you do face obstacles and hurdles and things like that. But I think, you know, when you find the people that inspire you and empower you, that's always the most beneficial resource. And I think, you know, it's always in my position. And I think when you're at a college, students can be an inspiration too. I mean, as far as finding students that care and finding students that want to go out and do great things in the world, you feel like you are at the right spot. And I think for me, this is meant as no offense to anybody in particular, but I think that apathy or that a sense of, you know, individual focus or like selfishness is the antithesis of this. And so I think so many people are so caring and giving and excited to do things for others at BSU. And I just see, you know, that is the inspirational part. And I always hate to see apathy or selfishness within a community like BSU. And so I don't have anybody specifically in mind, but that's just kind of, you know, where my mindset is at, is I always look for those people who are wanting to improve the community and give back, and that can be the inspirational part.
I want to echo what Dr. Durth said. The people are the most inspiring part of BSU for me. The connections I've been able to have while I've been here. Mm-hmm. I would say working at a university is a little bit of an interesting thing for me because when I attempted my degree when I was 18, you know, I left high school and went to college, and I actually ended up dropping out after 2 years. And it wasn't because my grades were bad. It was because I could not, I dropped out for a lot of very autistic reasons. Mm-hmm. I no longer function. My stores of energy had been completely depleted because I spent all of my time trying to navigate. So the academics weren't what was challenging for me. It was trying to understand how to go to university. That was so challenging for me. And I didn't have anyone helping me with that. I was very isolated, very alone. I didn't have friends. I didn't even know how to approach a professor. So 20, 30 years later, I'm working at a university, and the most inspiring and fulfilling part of my job is when, even for one moment, I encounter someone who reminds me of myself, and I can give them that one little tool or aid or point them in the right direction so that they can go do the next step so they can be successful. And for me, that is really, I'm almost crying as I say that, because I carried around so much guilt for so many years, thinking I couldn't succeed because I was somehow flawed. And it took me a long time to realize I had specific reasons why some things were more difficult for me than they were for mm-hmm. people. And so to now use that knowledge and just help students and other folks as they navigate our system, that is the most meaningful part of what I do every day.
I really appreciate you sharing that, because I figured that as long as we are comfortable to talk about our challenges and how we overcome those challenges, it definitely sends out some inspiring messages to students or whoever listen to our podcast.
Yes, I appreciate what each of you has shared so eloquently, and I do echo that same feeling of that connection with others on campus has been just so helpful in allowing me to feel connected to campus. And I'm in a unique situation. I know all of us in light of COVID are all working remotely, but I started and work remotely all the time, regardless of COVID. So I kind of have this unique perspective on campus, and also a different challenge too, because I'm not able to meet everybody in person. I'm not able to be there. So it's been wonderful to have faculty and staff reaching out to just, hey, let's have a Zoom chat and some coffee. Or, you know, with Sabrina, I follow her on Facebook and get a glimpse into her life. And it's just really wonderful to feel that connection, even from afar. So.
Awesome. So in terms of promoting Disability Awareness Month on campus or around the campus community, what do you think about it, like the process of promoting, and then also especially like under the current circumstance due to the pandemic, how do you see the needs, and then how do you see your role as well?
Personally, I absolutely love what we're doing. You know, I think I don't know the exact statistic, but I think it's near 20% of, you know, the American population has a disability. And, you know, of course, a disability can happen at any stage of life. And so us being able to have a dialogue about this and to get the word out, I think just remove some of that fear and stigma around disability. And, you know, just having this in this employee resource group, I think we've all sort of shared this this feeling of wanting to create a safe place to come out, so to speak, in air quotes, regarding our disability. And we want to serve as advocates on campus and feel like people can come to us and talk with us about some of the struggles that they've had. And for some of the needs, I think, you know, others would probably echo this as well, that, and especially for me being remote, I think the technology needs are something that's really important, you know, with COVID or without, you know, are we meeting those needs? Are there more advances in technology that we could be utilizing that would create an even more engaging experience for students and for employees?
I think in my role and kind of the mindset that I have, and I think, you know, I think Jenna brings up a ton of good points. We just had an email the other, Sabrina sent an email the other day with a quote that I think is really relevant too, just in the sense that for me, it's more about, it's more than just access or accessibility or accommodation. And I think that that's certainly important, but, you know, so that we can get students mm-hmm. in the door, students, faculty and staff and community members in the door and participating, you know, that's all well and good. And I think accessibility services and in terms of making accommodations for students, that's super important. But it's also the minimum, you know, that's where, you know, that's a starting point for me as an instructor. And this is just my, you know, my perspective and my engagement with, you know, disability studies and disability culture. And that is, you know, it's about belonging and it's about a sense that people with disabilities, of all types are a value add to a university and a space in terms of their capabilities, their, you know, and I shouldn't even say in terms of our capabilities, in terms of our strengths and innovativeness, our cultural production, the things that we can bring to increase resilience and sustainability within a community. And I think for too long, and when you don't have a Disability Awareness Month, we tend to find that people either ignore or take for granted people with disabilities as, you know, something that, you know, is like, it's a drag or it's a deficit or it's something that we need to do because it's the law. And I think that is just, you know, that's very sad. It's very saddening because it neglects all the things that people with disabilities have done in this country and around the globe to improve the quality of life for people. Innovations to help and to advance people with disabilities have helped everybody. And, you know, I always use the example of a smartphone. Half of your smartphone is because people with disabilities have innovated, you know, voice to text, voice reader, touch screens, things like that are all in a roundabout way because of innovations by and for people with disabilities. And so I think, you know, in that sense, and then also just representation, you know, artistic production by people with disabilities, filmmaking, art, music, all these have an incredible touchstones for and by people with disabilities. So I think that that's what, for me, and I would love, you know, I would love if, you know, BSU continues to starts to view people with disabilities as a strength, and as an important part of the community. And then I think we can certainly answer other questions later on, but like I was just going to say that disability is also intersectional, and so when we can't talk about other forms of diversity without also including disability amongst them. And so I think in that sense, it's a value add to our continuing conversations about diversity.
Sure.
All right, I'll be quiet now.
No, I'm gonna jump in here, and I'm just so glad that Thomas used the word intersectionality, because disability, everything from access, inclusion, belonging, all of that, it just cuts across any other specific group of diversity. There are people with disability, disabled people in any other diverse group that one can imagine. And so I think of disability awareness and disability activism as being one of the most ground level thought processes, as opposed to someone. So I think of, like, imagine there's a difficulty or a problem, or, you know, what's wrong with this picture? And someone who perhaps doesn't have any issues, or they're not currently experiencing a problem. They have that privilege, or they're just fortunate. And so if they're trying to look down and see where the problem is or how to fix it or something, they're at a disadvantage. Whereas the disability community actually is able to basically say, oh, I can tell you where the problems are. I can tell you where the bottlenecks are. I can tell you where the access issues are. I mean, and that's intersectional. And so the resource that the disabled community can offer any institution or agency in understanding what needs to change, or where the problems are, or why aren't we efficient? Why are we not able to serve at our maximum capacity? That is something the disabled community can offer. And it's not about punitive or punishing kind of things. I think there's so much love, because I feel like as a disabled person, I just want everyone to be able to find their way. And so when there are barriers, I feel very passionate about dissecting those barriers and figuring out how to remove them. And so I think that that's something that any agency, any organization, any employer could look to their disabled community and say, where are we finding barriers? And have such a direct access line to that information.
Sure. Yeah, speaking of that, so what progress do you think that we have been making as a campus community? And then how we can improve in the future to do our jobs better?
So I think the progress that we have been making is growing awareness and responsiveness to some of these discussions. I have been here, this is the start of my third year. So I believe maybe Sabrina Sabrina's been here longer. Jenna, how long have you been here? 2 years.
Yeah, okay. I've been here going into 6 years.
Yeah, so Sabrina's been here for 6 years. And maybe that perspective, that longitudinal perspective is something that I don't have. But I would say I can remember, you know, my first moments on campus and, you know, talking with folks, and everybody, you know, when they see me, and this is kind of the nature of because I have a visible and mobility disability, you know, everybody comes up to me and says, "This campus is super inaccessible, isn't it?" And it's just like, yeah, I do have issues sometimes getting around. The tunnels are not accessible, and unfortunately, they are seen as a you know a selling point for a lot of students, and you know, so that they don't have to go outside in the middle of winter. I do if I want to use my wheelchair, and so things like that. You know, that's when I got on the campus. I think the progress that has been made, or some of the things that has been made in the last 2 years, is growing responsiveness to equity issues. And so we can talk about the faculty association and the institution of a disability caucus within our mm-hmm. our faculty association to, you know, to represent a disability interest, faculty with disability interests. We now have an accessibility employee resource group to have these conversations. And we're certainly starting small, but you have to start somewhere. And let people know that there are problems in order to make progress on them. And I think the biggest, so that progress that I'm seeing, you know, is the openness, more openness, more responsiveness. And I think, you know, to the degree that the diversity strategic plan for the university is now including an ADA committee, the institution of an ADA committee on campus to help guide greater progress, more responsiveness to teaching strategies and inclusion of universal design strategies, that sort of thing. Christian Brzezinski over in the Accessibility Services Office is doing a great job working to not just accommodate, but encourage faculty to institute more universal design strategies so that it's about universal access instead of individuals getting accommodated. So I think the openness is there. We have a lot of progress to be made in just in terms of conceptualizing disability again as something that is that we want people with disabilities on our campus, and that we want students with disabilities, and not seeing it as cost or as something that's going to be burdensome. And I think I envision, or my ideal would be to say, we want to recruit people with disabilities to come to BSU. We want to make it so that students, faculty and staff feel comfortable at BSU if they have a disability. And I don't, right at the moment, I don't see that as a reality, but mm-hmm. I think we can get there.
Sure. And we have the new CDO will be on board soon. So hopefully the person can also guide us to moving into the right direction as well.
Absolutely. And I think it takes voices to do that. And it's not something, as with all kinds of equity efforts, mm-hmm. it's not a passive process. It takes active voices and active efforts.
So what would be your one piece of advice for inspiring students with disability?
For me, I always focus on, say that, you know, you should wake up and focus on what you're capable of. For me, that's been an ongoing struggle most of my life, of feeling like I'm not capable. I'm kind of my own worst enemy, right? And being able to continually focus on what you're capable of, And realizing that you're maybe capable of more, but there might be, it might be a kind of a unique way of getting there. You might need a little ingenuity to get there. And all I encourage is to really seek out those individuals, institutions, organizations, communities, technologies, whatever it may be, to help you, to support you in furthering your capabilities.
Thanks, Jenna.
My, I would want students to know they belong here. Even if they're encountering resistance or barriers, there are people on this campus that are celebrating that they are working hard to be here and to achieve something, a goal in their personal life, like getting a degree or being out in the world or anything that they're working on. And so I would hope that they remember, even if they haven't met that person yet, that there are people that want them to be here. They want them to have a sense of belonging, and they're there ready to offer that. And so again, I think for me, it's all about belonging and encouraging students to remember they do belong here. They have every right to be pursuing their degree and meeting people, and furthering their own personal interests in their personal life, you know, through studying.
Yeah, thanks, Sabrina. And Thomas?
I feel like I'm on a theme, but I think for me, the inspiration, and if I can, if I don't know, I'm trying not to make this a super long answer, but the thing I wish I would have known sooner, before I went to, you know, graduate school and growing up, is that it's okay to be disabled. I spent, you know, the first probably 20 years of my life trying to disavow my disability. And I think that would be the biggest thing that I think, or the biggest challenge that a lot of people with disabilities face, is the sense that disability is a negative thing. And I was so fortunate to go to graduate school, and especially a PhD program, where I encountered, where I started to encounter all of the contributions of people with disabilities. I never learned about that. You know, history, activism, social change, you know, memoirs of people with disabilities. And so I think for me, my piece of advice for students with disabilities is start to learn about people with disabilities. Connect to the history, connect to the figures within the disability community that have had a tremendous efforts and leadership and you know progress in the U.S. And I think for me, being part of something bigger and being part of that disability community, broadly speaking, has been the greatest sense of strength and inspiration for me. Because it, at the end of the day, it is really important, you know, for individual efforts and persisting and all that kind of stuff, you know, in the classroom. It's good to do that and to strive and to be best you can be. But it can be tough sometimes, and it can start to get challenging. And so you need that backstop of being a part of that larger community, that group that shares that experience with you psychologically, to persist in the face of those challenges. And that is something that has been notable for so many different minority groups and marginalized communities in this society, that when you're part of that larger sense of community and when you have that connection to culture, it gives you strength because you know that there are people there for you and have had this experience. And so the more that you can connect and the more that you can learn about your history and your community, the more persistence and strength that you will have in the face of those challenges. And so for me, that would be my piece of advice. And I teach a class, Psychology of Disability, where we talk about that, where we connect to that history and those contributions, because you know, I think that it's extremely valuable, and it's something that I'm so fortunate to have found, but way later in life than I probably should have. That would be my advice.
And can I jump in here? I'm so glad you said that, Thomas. We were fortunate enough to have the questions ahead of time so we could, you know, I love that, by the way. It helped me go into the experience with so much less anxiety than I would have had being put on the spot. But I had literally written down one of the questions was, how do you motivate or encourage yourself? And I had written down for that question, I research my disability and thereby eventually connect with my autistic community, and my tribe affirms my existence. Mm-hmm. And that tells so much later in life either, but it really helps. I feel like it's key. So if someone can do that in a much younger age than I did, I think it would help a lot. Mm-hmm.
Any plan, or is there anything you expect to achieve a year from now? Hopefully we can come back around the same time next year to do another podcast to reflect on it.
I am currently working to, on a charge for a ADA committee. And I hope that by this time next year, we have instituted that committee with the CDO and with the representatives from across the university, and that we're making progress on a plan to make the university more accessible and welcoming place. That would be a big kind of institutional goal that I would have. And I think, the other goal that I would say, looking a year in advance, I would like to see that we're developing momentum in our the splash or the visibility of disability at BSU, mm-hmm. Whatever that means. Just since last year was kind of the first year, there wasn't anything previously. I don't know, Sabrina, how visible disability was around this time prior to, even like last year. Nothing. Yeah, she's given me the nothing sign. And so we started small last year. I talked to Solar and put a podcast up and had a couple lectures and things. This mm-hmm. year, getting an outside speaker and some events and having the Accessibility ERG group for this month. And I hope, that we continue to expand and that we break the bounds of October, that we, we have some disability things interjected here and there throughout the year. So that would be my goal, is to maybe break out of October a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's see.
And I hope that we have more interest in the accessibility employee resource group. Just in the sense, I don't know to speak for anybody else, but like we meet about averaging once a month and we kind of talk about disability issues around campus. But I think one of the big things that we are are thinking about and trying to consider is, you know, how to make disability more visible around campus. And I think, we are always looking for opportunities, and hopefully, you know, there's more of a role for students to have a place to come together to talk about disability in a way that is normalizing and not stigmatizing and so I hope that would be something within the Accessibility Employee Resource Group that we can continue to build momentum towards and work with allies on campus as well to continue these efforts. So I just wanted to mention that with you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Thomas, for saying that. I appreciate that. I was feeling the same way, so.
Awesome. Cool, so thank you also very much again. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.